Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
All right, just as he does every single Friday at noon, Michael Bump is joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Bump, how's it going?
What's up, guys? I'm doing good. How are you?
Fantastic. Obviously, a lot of news to come out of mandatory minicamp, especially considering the final day. We finally heard from Pete Carroll. I'm going to start with the not-so-great news. Obviously, there's a lot to be excited about. He loved Noah Fant's camp. There was some at least positive injury news on the young guys that missed camp, that it's not so serious. But we are still waiting for updates on Chris Carson. Bump, I'm assuming that you read about the interview, watched the interview, were there to see camp. How are you feeling right now about Carson's status, given that we didn't get much of an update?
No, I'm not feeling good about it. You know, if there were any type of positives to that story or his situation, you feel like they would have just come out with it, right, and given you that information. But, no, it's not looking good for Carson. But, again, that's why you draft guys like Ken Walker and you hope Rashad Penny works out. I mean, Carson has to do what's best for him at this point, but in his team is kind of preparing for life without him. Unfortunately, that's just how the NFL is, man. Guys get hurt, they get banged up, and teams are always looking to be okay in certain positions. And in that case, it's running back. That's why Ken Walker's here.
Well, Bump, and when you talk about that, Ken Walker, there are a couple unique injury updates. I want to get your take on this because Pete Carroll got after some guys in regards to not being in shape, which led to some hamstring tightness, and Ken Walker being one of those guys. There is a difference between getting ready for the combine and pro day, Bump, and then you hit the NFL or get back to regular football activities. How big of a transition is that from your perspective as a skill guy? It was for a quarterback, it's minimal, but you feel it. What is it like as a skill guy when you have to do all of that running?
Man, it's tough because it's hard to simulate what it's going to be like in camp. You can get with guys that you train with or that you know, you do one-on-ones and do all these drills and get your body ready. But there's nothing like when you have to turn it on and it's really like fight or flight situation, right? You go a bit harder when you have that jersey on and a helmet, even if you don't have your pads on. And then it's learning your body. You know, you mentioned you've been training for a 40-yard dash for the L drill, for the combine type stuff. And those are really controlled movements. Once you get on the football field, man, I could be running a route and have to adjust in the middle. There's no drill that really duplicates that exact movement and at the tempo that I'm doing it. So there is a transition, and if you slipped on your conditioning and your training just a little bit, it will definitely show up in camp, and I think that's what we're seeing.
Pete Carroll was asked about DK Metcalf and the kind of clear contract tension between he and the team, and he said that they, quote, clearly intended to get something done. To me, saying clearly intended means there was an effort and maybe DK wasn't happy with it. Is that what you're taking from that quote?
Yeah, clearly intended. That to me, that means there's been some communication and it just didn't work out, and not quite yet. But there has to be some negotiating. I mean, the Hawks aren't going to go at DK with their very best deal to start, right? We're going to make it the highest paid receiver in this league. No, they're not going to go there. You have to not lowball, but come in kind of low and then go back and forth. So I think this is how negotiation goes. It's rare that you see just the side sit down, first time talking, and things work out, especially when you're seeing the transition that receivers are going through as far as getting paid. It's almost like, you know, they near doubled their worth over the past 6 months. You know what I'm saying? So there's some things they got to work out. I think they're communicating and hopefully it gets done.
Now, Bump, how much does it worry you that the timeline doesn't seem to be changing in regards to potentially being in July, knowing that there are a couple other receiver contracts that we do know that are looming in Terry McLaurin and also Deebo Samuel? You know, the Cooper Kupp one was also another reminder that it could come from anywhere.
Yeah, I think the timeline is, I mean, that's part of why DK is not here, because I think I heard you mention it, Jake, that you got to wait and see what these guys are going to get paid. So you figure out what you're worth, you know, especially with, again, the transition that's happening right now. This is new territory, and that's just good business. If you think you're as good as these other guys, let's play the holdout game and see what happens. But at some point, a deal has to be done. And, you know, I've never been in this situation, Jake, unfortunately, dealing with millions and millions of dollars when it comes to contract talk. But I like to think that you know, maybe these players are sharing a little bit of information with each other. Maybe these agents are talking to each other and just seeing when everyone's going to be comfortable to make a move. So, man, it's you got to hold out. And people who disagree with athletes holding out or whatnot, I feel your pain because you want them to play for your ball club. But this is a once-in-a-lifetime type deal. You know, he could set himself up for life right now.
That's right. Pete Carroll mentioned, actually said, this may be the fastest team we've ever had. And he kind of hinted that that's the message for the conditioning. Do you think that that's a shift in how the Seahawks have prioritized in terms of strength building, speed, kind of how they like their guys to be?
You could say that. I mean, when I think of the fast Seahawks players, I think of more quick Seahawks players. You know what I mean? I think of Doug Baldwin. I think of Tyler Lockett. I think of, you know, beast mode, shifty guy. There hasn't really been a group of guys who are just straight burners. So maybe there is a shift. Maybe that was one of Shane Waldron's stipulations. Like, look, these are the type of football players that we need here. And if it is a shift, I like it, man. I like the mix-up. Get some small guys out there with some speed. And then imagine once DK comes back, if he comes back, we're anticipating he comes back, you still got him on the outside. So it's a shift from the traditional, I guess, personnel that we're used to seeing. We're just seeing big guys on the outside, quick shifty guys. Now you're getting speed. So expect those safeties have to turn their hips and stay on top.
I kind of want to move it even more broad than that. Do you think that that's something that in general defenses, I guess I was thinking defensively when he said it, but the defenses will try to prioritize speed just given the way that offenses in the NFL are evolving?
Yeah, you got to match up, right? You have to match up. That's all it is. That's why the defense waits for the offense to break the huddle to see what personnel they're in. You know what I mean? Because the offense dictates what's going to happen. So, yeah, you got to be able to go big at times, and I think the Seahawks will show that with some two tight, even three tight end looks. And then you got to be able to play small ball as well when they spread them out. The more versatile you are, the more versatile team you're playing, the more versatile you have to be on defense.
Now, you know, with that versatility, Bump, I mean, you know, Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs talked about this quite a bit in regards to, you know, the reasons why they're excited about this defense overall and the different places that they can be put. You know, Jamal Adams said, hey, versatility in terms of moving safeties. You don't know, Quandre Diggs said, you don't know which one of us is going to blitz. I mean, do you truly see them trying to go in that direction that they're going to use those guys interchangeably? Or do you eventually see them settling into the traditional strong safety, free safety roles with this defense?
You know, Jake, I think they're going to try, right? I don't think they would be putting it out there right now or repping it if they weren't going to try it. But what do we know about these safeties? We know that Quandre Diggs is a ball hawk, and he's going to grab you 5 interceptions a year. We know that Jamal Adams causes havoc in that box. So at the end of the day, I think they're going to put them in positions to where they're good and where they're comfortable. But if they want to try some things, I'm all for it, man. I mean, you know what that does pre-snap, right? Being a quarterback, you're seeing some stuff you haven't seen. They have Jamal in a place he's not really familiar with. It makes you slow down your process, right, and go through some things. I think that's what they're trying to do. Initially, they'll give it a go, but I also think that if it's not working out and guys aren't executing the way that they like to, then they'll put these guys in positions that they're used to more often.
Hey, Bump, you are a husband. You're a father. I asked Jake and Curtis earlier about the last dumb decision they made, and instead it turned into a conversation about just times that they've been incredibly forgetful. And Curtis, for instance, he left the freezer open for 3 hours. Brenna has said that he constantly messes up Willa's outfits when he has to dress Willa. Just like typical, typical mistakes, typical dumb decisions. Like, Jake had
Bump,
a couple.
You can empathize.
You
with
can
me on
empathize,
this, right,
Bump? Right,
yes, definitely, most definitely. It happens, man. At dad life, you got so much on your mind. Something's gonna slip. No one's perfect, right?
That's what we tell ourselves.
Bump, we got to hear the last dumb decision you made.
The last dumb decision I made, man, I wouldn't call it maybe a dumb decision. I just forgot, you know.
I'm
telling you.
We have, we share a calendar. And, you know, every day I look at the calendar, see what's going on. And I got my days mixed up. And thankfully, I just gave my 12-year-old a phone, and he hits me up. He's like, so are you picking me up? What's up? Like,
forgetting an actual kid.
Far away. I was like 5 minutes away, so I got there. He's just shaking his head. I'm like, my bad, man.
No, you were like, yeah, I'm picking you up. I was on the way.
Yeah, I'm around the corner. I'm right around the corner.
Yeah. Traffic's horrible.
See, I mean, look, are there dumb decisions we make? Sure. But most of the dumb things that we do in life is because of the forgetful nature, that we all possess. I mean, it's just, I don't know what to tell you, Stacey. But, Bump, outside of us making dumb decisions or doing stupid things, one of the other things that I'm going to be curious about is, Drew Locke, his ability to change kind of the narrative of the past, which is, hey, good kid, nice guy, super talented, but essentially didn't know what it took to be a pro, right? From a standpoint to, coming in every day in the building, what he needed to do to really elevate and grow his game. You know, what have you heard, what have you seen to make you feel like he can do it and that he can make this change with the Seahawks?
Yeah, that's a good question, because that's essentially what all of us are doing when we're at these practices, or we're listening to him speak or watching him throw the football. We're thinking, okay, can he become something else? And we're looking for clues that make us buy into that. And when the things that make me at least want to give Drew Locke a chance is that I just see him throw the football. Now, I know that it's not against 11-on-11 guys in pads, but it comes out nice, and he makes some good throws. You know what I'm saying? And I've watched his game film, and I see the ability there. It's all about just being consistent. So this is a great opportunity for Drew, man. He gets to, one, learn from Geno. I know people have your feelings about Geno, but he's been a pro in this league for 8 or 9 years. He can show Drew Locke a thing or two. Now, when it comes to competing, you got to go out there and do your thing. So it's all about his perspective. If he is walking into this situation and he's willing to learn and take some chances too, man, I think that's another thing I saw in film, Jake, is that he wasn't afraid to make the big throw. And I think that's probably what will separate him from Geno, is that if he can make some throws that I feel like Geno probably wouldn't attempt, because he's more of a veteran. So it's wide open for the kid, man. Geno has a hold on this thing right now, but if he does some things, he'll be in the fight.
Hey, I wanted to go back to a couple injuries. Dee Eskridge wasn't able to practice, still nursing a hamstring injury. It doesn't sound all too serious, but I think what you worry about with Eskridge is the same thing you worry about when Rashad Penny has an injury, which is, without context, you think, oh, it's a random soft tissue issue in June or in May. Who really cares? But when it's a guy that has struggled with injuries, or in the case of Eskridge, a guy you haven't seen, you get worried. Do you look at where he is now and just think, man, he's got to go out there and prove himself, and I can't wait for him to do it? Or, what's your reaction to just him once again having to be out for this time of the year?
It's extremely disappointing, especially because you get a glimpse of what he can do. You see the speed, you see the potential, and then you imagine him in this offense and you start to draw plays and concepts. Like, okay, this is how that we anticipate they're going to use him, and then he has issues again. With D, it's tough because he's going to be in an offense where I think he can flourish too. And I think that's what makes it a bit more difficult too, because I could see where they're going to use him and where he can help. But as, you guys know, as athletes, if you're not on the field, you're not participating, man, there's another guy getting more reps, another guy making more impressions. And it's almost, I wouldn't say a blessing that these young guys were hurt at the receiver spot, but imagine if Bo Melton and Derek Young were 100%, they're getting all these reps or whatnot, but he's still competing with Marquise and all these guys. It's just making it tough on him, and I feel for him. I hope he gets healthy, and when he gets an opportunity, man, just make a play.
All right. He is Michael Bumpus, joins us every single Friday. Bump, enjoy the rest of your weekend.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Bump.
All right, Sunday, June 12th. What is it, Jake?
It is Little League night.
That's right. You remember.
Yeah.
You remembered. It's in front of you. It's the show sheet, isn't it? You're looking at it.
No. Okay. I remembered.
Sure. Sunday, June 12th is Little League Day at T-Mobile Park. All kids 14 and under will receive a pair of Ty France wristbands presented by the Mariners Kids Club. Get your tickets now at mariners.com/promotions. Let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacy.
Headline number one, Pete Carroll says the Seahawks are about 2 weeks away from knowing more about Chris Carson's status for 2022. What's the real headline?
Seahawks 2 weeks away from being 2 weeks away from knowing more about Chris Carson's status.
It'd be like that.
Sometimes it'd be like that.
Yeah, you know, it really does. And honestly, it is just really sad to me. It's really sad that Chris Carson is in this position right now.
Well, yeah, because he's an exceptional player.
He is. And you just hate to see somebody have their career potentially cut short when it had so much promise. And again, I don't want to put the cart before the horse here, because maybe Chris Carson can get himself back. Maybe there is a way where he can play again. But it's on very shaky ground, and I would be surprised if Chris Carson plays this season. Could maybe he find his way into the NFL the following season after he's really taken some time off and he's got full mobility in his neck after the injury and he's able to legitimately get cleared? Yeah, there is that possibility. I mean, but I do not see it happening for 2022, and I do not see it happening with the Seattle Seahawks, and that to me is really a bummer, because we know how, it's not just how talented Chris Carson is, it's how hard he works. Mm-hmm. And this guy's body is in unbelievable shape, and he works out every day, works out extremely hard, and is dedicated to his craft, and it's sad to see Chris Carson going through this, because he's such a phenomenal player and person.
I'll also say this. Take out the last month of the season last year when Rashad Penny just went absolutely insane and was putting up crazy numbers. And the two best running backs who have best carried out the vision of the offense that Pete Carroll wants, Marshawn Lynch and Chris Carson. Don't forget mm-hmm. that in 2018... they led the league in rushing yards. I think it was 2018, 160 per game. That was in large part because Chris Carson became the first Seahawks running back since Marshawn Lynch to have a 1,000-yard season. And he did it again the following season when they weren't averaging 160 per game. But if you were to think, if ever there was a year to not have Russell Wilson and to have the bulldozing kind of like run first offense that Pete Carroll wants, Chris Carson would be the ideal weapon to have with that.
Yeah.
And I'm becoming increasingly worried, as are even the most optimistic Seahawks fans, that might not happen anytime soon.
Well, 253 actually has a suggestion for real headline. Real yeah. headline, Stacy is also waiting 2 weeks for Brian to finally return from space.
Whoa.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
First of all, he's coming back into town, actually, because I'm going to a wedding this weekend. As you guys know, I will be out on Monday and Tuesday, and Brian's actually going with me. He's my wedding date.
Really? How convenient he's back when you're going to be gone.
Well, yeah, because we are going to the wedding, me and Brian, you guys, my boyfriend.
So just take a picture. Just take a picture and post it.
No, that's fine. I don't think they're allowing phones. They're kind of like they want it to be just kind of like an intimate ceremony. So we aren't we're not going to have any
but
photos.
But there's going to be photographer there for their wedding, I would assume, right?
But just for them. They could only afford to have pictures of just
them. They're only going to take pictures of nobody's going to be allowed in the background of any show.
They kind of wanted it to feel like super intimate, where it was just the two of them at the wedding.
But
so,
still have an audience.
Well, yeah, because you want your friends there. So Brian and I will be there. Brian, my boyfriend, who's an astronaut and a doctor. We will be there.
How about after you're there from the venue, you guys take a picture after that?
Isn't he like 6'8"?
Yeah, that's another thing.
280.
He was too big and strong to be a professional athlete. So he became an astronaut instead. And so he might not be able to even, I don't think he can legally have his photo taken because of NASA.
Oh.
Yeah, because they like to keep that stuff pretty under wraps. Headline two, Curtis.
Headline rewrite.
I'm pretty sure NASA takes like official photos.
No, they don't. They have a special squad. It's kind of like
there's that famous astronaut picture of the guy. He's got his like two dogs with him.
Yeah, I love that photo. Yeah. No, there's a squad that he's part of with NASA where they just kind of like to keep it low key.
Oh, got it.
Low key NASA is what they call it.
Yeah, it's the low key division.
Just head to space and chill. Headline number two, the Mariners look to get revenge on the Red Sox tonight as they start their longest homestand of the season. What's the real headline?
The key will be cutting Trevor Story's production down to 3 home runs. So
okay.
If you could just narrow it down a little bit. It's all about baby steps. That's what I always
and,
say.
And please don't let it be in one game. Not the game tonight. Just that's all I ask. Also, I told Jackson, because we're kind of taking him to the game for fun for his birthday. His birthday's tomorrow. Today's his last. Oh, my gosh. It's his last day as a 5-year-old. This is crazy. But I said, buddy, do you know who we're playing? He's like, the Red Sox, right? And then he got this big old like devilish grin on his face. And I'm like, what? He's like, I remember. I was like, what? Yeah. You remember what? And he didn't want to say it because he knew it was that, like, in the moment I had told him that he shouldn't say that anymore. But he was like, I told the Red Sox they suck.
Yeah! Got him!
For anybody who doesn't know, last year we went and watched the Boston Red Sox. We watched the Mariners play the Boston Red Sox. And there was this group of Red Sox fans that were just absolutely obnoxious, doing all these Red Sox chants, talking trash about the Mariners, and Jackson was appalled, absolutely appalled. And at one point, he turns around to the group of Red Sox fans sitting behind us and yelled at them and said, Red Sox suck! And they stopped in their tracks.
They were dying laughing. Honestly, that's the call of a dying baby laughing. Boston.
And I feel like horrified.
They recognized it.
I was horrified. That's true. That maybe it was respect. Like, oh, okay, I got you. Yeah,
that's
now
exactly
we're...
what it was.
Yeah.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number 3. The Angels finally did it. They unbelievably snapped their 14-game losing streak last night with a 5-2 win over the Red Sox. What's the real headline?
Shohei Ohtani was quoted as saying, fine, I'll do it myself, after going seven innings and also hitting a 2-run home run.
Sometimes you just got to take it upon yourself.
You just got to handle
it
yourself.
No one else is going to do it. I'll do it.
Look, it was a job for Shohei Ohtani. And you got it done. Huh. Forget Nickelback. And you got Ohtani.
Look, Shohei Ohtani is an absolute marvel. Like, just him as a player, what he is able to do just blows me away. Absolutely blows me away. And when this guy is on, we haven't seen him completely on with his bat like he was last year, but as a pitcher, I mean, he's hitting 101. He's got, you know, unbelievable off-speed stuff. I mean, I don't think the league has seen anything like Shohei Ohtani. I don't think they've seen anything like him. Don't give me Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth was not pitching what Shohei Ohtani's pitching, okay? I mean, this guy is special. He's one of one.
I mean, I also think that you can respect and appreciate athletes of different generations without saying, like, oh, athletes, old school athletes just would have dominated. It's like, dude, people just train in such a different way now. I'm being shamed for going to a wedding alone. First of all,
it is not bad
to go to a wedding alone. Secondly,
I thought Brian was
going
to be
I'm
there.
Not going. That's the thing. I'm not going alone. This person clearly doesn't understand that I have a boyfriend again. All right. Cliff Kingsbury said he tried his best to help out Seahawks fans. Now, he didn't say to help out Seahawks fans, but he was fighting the good fight. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. Also, the latest from an exclusive interview with Chris Carson with Heavy.com. That's coming up next.
Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
All right, it's time for Look Around the NFL. This hour, by the way, brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. In an exclusive interview with Heavy.com, we saw the first interview with Chris Carson. So Heavy.com, it's an article by Jonathan Adams. It was published a bit earlier today. Carson talked about his future, and he didn't say anything specific, but here's a couple quotes. He said, I see myself playing until I feel like stopping. My mindset is never to give up, so I'm staying positive, like I said, and continue to fight and get back on the field. He said there's no timeline for his return, still working on rehab. He's been all over the country training and looking to, quote, keep building strength. He's saying there's no timeline. He's not trying to rush it.
Well, and that goes to show you that when you're talking about the timeline, if Chris Carson can't give you a timeline, then he recognizes the fact that he is not extremely close. He's actually farther away from being healthy. And I think that that's important, and I'm glad he recognizes that. You know, I think physically it's probably forced him to do so in regards to you can't rush this process. I mean, we're talking about a severe neck injury. He had to get a procedure done, you know, on his spine. Like, this is something that you can't mess with, and especially when it comes to a physical game like this. You can't. And Chris Carson tried to power through it before during this last season, and you just can't. So what I hope is that no matter what ends up happening, that the relationship between Chris Carson and the Seattle Seahawks stay positive and good, and that if he is not cleared to play this year and they end up cutting him, that there is an opportunity that if he is able to get healthy, that he is able to gain that mobility back, and he's in a better spot where he can medically be cleared, that there is room for him to return to Seattle. I mean, selfishly, that's what we would love to see, but I just think that the chances of him coming back are slim at this point, and I think slim at best.
Well, him saying there's no timeline makes me wonder if the kind of like, oh, we're hoping to hear a bit more in 2 weeks thing that Pete Carroll mentioned might also still be not being greenlit. You know, like the result may still be, hey, he's not ready. Whereas Chris Carson saying, look, I'm just working on getting back, and until I can't, I'm not telling myself that I can't.
Right.
He does, though, in the interview, talk about some of the other running backs. So if you're looking for at least some other information that's maybe not a silver lining about his health, but about the running back group, there's at least a little bit there. He talks about Penny. He's been really close with him. He's healthy, moving around good. He really likes the running back crew. Talks about DJ Dallas, Travis Homer. He also mentions Noah Fant, tight end Noah Fant, saying, quote, it's going to be exciting this year.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I think you've got some young, talented players that obviously we've seen Rashad Penny, what he can do. Ken Walker, we're excited to see what he does because he seems very similar to Rashad Penny in regards to being a home run hitter in between the tackles. And if you can have two guys that possess that big play ability, man, look out. I mean, that's exciting in regards to your running game. And then if Noah Fant can emerge as this legitimate third receiving option behind DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, I mean, he possesses all of the physical talents to be one of the better tight ends in the league from a receiving perspective, Stacey. So I'll be curious to see how they integrate him into this offense. He'll play that same role that Gerald Everett had a season ago. And we'll see if it can be more successful, if they can integrate him into that offensive scheme and that system and use him more successfully than they've been able to use the tight ends in recent years. But I do think that there's a lot to be excited and optimistic about when it comes to the skill position group of this offense.
All right. Cliff Kingsbury said he tried his best. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough, Cliff. But he tried his best to get Aaron Donald to retire and Cooper Kupp to hold out. When? How? Why? Well, we know why. But as far as how, it happened to be at Sean McVay's wedding.
I did my best to try and convince Aaron Donald to retire. Obviously, that didn't work. I thought, you know, I told him he's accomplished all he can accomplish. I think it's a great idea to go out on your own terms, all that. And then I told Kupp, I was basically like, I know you and Sean are friends, but stop taking that McVay discount, hold out for the first 3 weeks and get something sorted out. And you can tell that did not work out either.
Well, with Kupp and Donald signing extensions, it looks like Cliff Kingsbury was just as effective at getting them to quit as he is at winning playoff games. Jake.
It's true. It's true. Oh, man, Stacey, going for the jugular today.
A lot of things today.
Yeah. Very well done.
I'm trying to limit myself. I got that wedding on Monday. I didn't have a donut. I'm staring at your stack of three maple bars, and I'm just the bitterness and the anger is resulting in insults.
Yeah, part of the stack of the maple bars is there for you to see the...
You literally have a stack of three maple bars.
Yes.
Jackson's... Are you bringing one back for Jackson?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say he's going to be devastated. Please do.
I will, but it's also part of the punishment of... Look at...
I understand.
What your gambling has done to you.
I get it. Cliff didn't get a ton for us done there. But
no, he didn't. He did not. But also, we have to admit that this show said that we were in the same kind of conversation with Aaron Donald, and he also left us hanging. So
Yeah, you're right. Oh, no, we were in the conversation of what was the game when they were facing the Rams? And the one that had to be postponed because of COVID. You said Aaron Donald doesn't have it, right? I'm just so nervous for him. I keep asking just to make sure. You were just really focused on seeing whether Aaron Donald had COVID. It was weird. You just kept asking about it, man. And you were... ESPN's Adam Schefter and Kimberly A. Martin are reporting that Chargers owner Dean Spanos is being sued by his sister, Dia Day.
I'm sorry, what?
I think it's D.
For alleged misogynistic behavior and repeated breaches of fiduciary duty. The lawsuit calls for Dean Spanos to be removed as co-trustee of the team.
Fortunately, we're seeing a lot of this these days with NFL owners.
Just misconduct.
Weird how it seems to be
super
a lot
weird.
Of them.
It's almost like billionaires feel like they can get away with stuff because,
they make a lot of money.
Yeah. It's almost like
they
money
hold
gives
a lot,
you
of,
a lot
power.
Of power and sway. That's super
weird.
Yeah.
Also, I think the L.A. fan base or San Diego fan base, more like it. The San Diego Chargers
Every
fans.
San Diego Chargers fan I know hates Dean Spanos.
Hates. With a passion. And so I'm sure there's a lot of people going, oh, really? This doesn't surprise me one bit, and would love to see him crash and burn. So we'll see how this goes down. But also there's something going on with the, Mark Davis and the Raiders, and we're unsure how that whole situation's going to play out. And
Dan Snyder.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this is not a good trend that is happening here for the NFL. How long can the NFL protect all of them?
Well, and Jerry Jones had that situation with the woman who claimed he was her father.
Yes, but also he purchased a Range Rover for her, allegedly, and also paid for her college tuition.
And then there was that thing. He was spotted on that street in Dallas that is known for its nightlife.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they're just...
Real stand-up right, group.
Right now, they're batting 1,000. Stephen Ross is accused of...
Throwing games.
So, yeah, right now, this ownership group for the NFL is just... They're hitting it out of the park right now. I mean, my gosh, get your act together, guys.
Right. It's Jake and Stacey. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. Let's see. We've got some fun stuff coming up next. You want to do Say It With Your Chest?
Oh.
Let's end it with yeah. some fiery takes.
Okay.
Let's go fiery.
Yo,
to,
you
to
want
end
fiery?
This hour before we head into the last hour.
Okay, let's
can
do it.
Can you bring fiery?
Yeah, I think I can do that.
Okay. Okay, good. Well, that's coming up next.
Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
This hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. It's time. Say it with your chest. Jake, you have to say, I will also, something that you need to get off your chest. Not only that, but you're going to say it with your chest, meaning I'm not backing down. This is something I passionately care about. This is something that is true. I don't care what you think. This is how it is.
Say it with your chest.
That's exactly right. So, Jake, what do you got to say?
Okay. I'm going to say this with my chest.
Say it with your chest.
Even though you don't believe in it?
Oh, no. I fully believe in it.
You can't, okay.
That the Mariners are going to be the hottest team in the American League over the course of the month of June because, we want to know why?
Yeah.
The month of June is the month of the Mariners, okay?
There we go.
They are already on a 5-3 start to start this month off. And look, what I believe is going to happen here is that you're going to see this team get healthier. They're going to find their groove. And if you can find guys with contributions like Cal Raleigh is doing on the back end of the lineup, and he could do that on a consistent basis for the course of the month, you're going to see this team really take off. And it being able to feed itself, the way that Julio's playing, Ty France, obviously you have J.P. Crawford. I just think that you're one or two contributors away from really taking off and really, really gaining ground in the month of June. And this has really been the month that we are waiting for. This is, all right, you dug yourself a hole. Now it's time to get out of it. They just have had 4 straight series wins. Things are going in the right direction for this team. And they're not even at full strength yet. And I think that as they get healthier, as they add players like Swanson and Giles to their bullpen, as they become a little bit more stabilized, Castillo's really starting to come on. you are able to really see things come together. As long as their starting pitching can hold it down, and that's the big question here, I do believe that they've got a great chance to have a very successful month of June that is a much easier schedule than what they have faced thus far this season. Finally, 22 home games out of the next 30. You've got to be able to capitalize on that.
You know, say it with your chest.
You know how you can make this even spicier? Make a prediction, a bold prediction for the 11-game homestand.
The 11-game homestand? Oh, you want me to give you a prediction for the 11-game homestand?
This is Jake buying time while he thinks of a prediction for the 11-game homestand.
I will tell you right now
that
the Seattle Mariners, over the course of this 11-game homestand,
Curtis, remember this moment,
is going to go 8-3. They're going to go 8-3.
Say it with your chest!
8-3.
8-3. How about that? 8-3.
Okay. That means they're winning all three series.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm predicting that they're
unless
winning
they
all three
series. The
unless
Angels,
they sweep
yes.
and lose a single series to sweep the other two. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's a good one, Jake. I like that. All right. I got
two. Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Whoa.
Do you have one that's
down.
Better?
Oh, I have two.
Doubt it.
Number one. Now, I got to say this with my chest.
Say it with your chest.
We have had frequent discussions about the biggest conversation for the Seahawks, and that is the quarterback of the future, the quarterback of 2022. I think those are two different conversations. I think that Geno Smith and Drew Lock are both going to be guys that are good for now, your short term, and I think that this team is moving forward with someone else down the road. But for right now, the conversation's been, is it Geno? Is it Drew? And, you know what? I said it's going to be Geno. I said week one, I feel pretty certain it's going to be Geno. I think the team would love for it to be Drew. Sure. I mean, it would feel kind of nice to get that Russell Wilson trade done. And then the guy that you traded, included in part of that trade, isn't sitting on the bench, is actually out there playing well. Oh, also that guy's young. And I get it. I mean, you know, big arm, blah, blah, blah. But this team really likes Geno Smith. Pete Carroll really likes Geno Smith, likes him so much that in an off-season press conference before Geno Smith was on the team, so he still had to have his contract negotiated to come back, Pete Carroll gave him all kinds of leverage by saying that Geno Smith, he'd love to have him here and he'd have basically the upper hand in a quarterback battle. A free agent quarterback, you basically told him, this guy's got a good shot to come in and compete for a starting role to maybe be our starter.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm Geno Smith, I'm just seeing dollar signs and I'm thinking, fantastic. But you liked me so much and felt so good about my comfort with your offense that you felt good enough about saying that. I think that from day dot of the offseason, this team has felt like if we need to roll with Geno, worst case scenario, we feel pretty good about that. Mm. Like, at least he's got it.
And you think it's grown to the point where it's not just been about that. It has been.
Is that for the last couple weeks, we've all been talking about Drew Lock, and that finally, in the end, I'm going to be right because Geno Smith is going to be your week one starter.
Say it with your chest.
That's going to happen.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Look. Could it happen? May it happen?
Will it happen? Yes.
Do you feel good about that?
I don't think anyone ever feels that great about their say it with your chest predictions.
I do. I feel great. Speak for yourself. I feel great about my say it with your chest prediction.
Now, the thing with mine is that I think that the team would love for Drew Lock to work out, and I think that they genuinely like him more than outside critics give them credit for. I think they genuinely really like the weapons that he has. But I also think that they feel much better about Geno than outside critics give them credit for. And Pete Carroll, a man who I've covered for many years, also really likes people who buy into his system, buy into his program, and who are familiar with things.
Hmm.
Like he is someone who does value that. It's why they bring back a lot of older veterans.
So do you again, don't skirt around my question.
I'm not.
Do you
Geno
feel
Smith,
good about this?
Yeah, it's what I think will happen. If you were to ask me to bet, if you were to ask me to make a donut bet today.
Oh, boy.
Stacey so desperately wants
Jake,
to make another donut bet.
Geno Smith is the day one starter for the Seahawks, barring a suspension. Or I will bring in donuts every day for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Hurry up, because I got to get to my next
yes.
say with your chest.
Okay,
yes. my last say it with your chest. I got one more.
Every
one
day
more say
for
it with
2 weeks?
Your chest. One more say it with your chest.
That's too
it's going to be
donuts.
Very
and I just
fast.
Just got to do it once?
It's going to be very fast. Here's what it is. Stop shaming single people. Nothing wrong with being single. Obviously, I'm making a joke because I'm going to this wedding myself. Am I going with a group that's the wedding party and we're all going together? Yeah, so it's different. It's kind of like I'm going with a group of friends, so it's a little bit different. But I have gotten the weirdest responses from people being like, oh, that's so sorry. Stop feeling bad for your single friends, because let me tell you what. Your single friends are just fine. You know what time I wake up every morning on the weekends?
What's that?
10 a.m. I wake up. I go get coffee. It's fantastic. You know what time I go to bed on the weekends?
2
I don't either. It's whenever I want to go to bed. It's like your single friends are just fine. Stop pitying them. Stop trying to like set them up with people that are like horrible matches for them. And most importantly, going to a wedding with friends, with a date, or by yourself is always fine as long as you have a good time. That's my final say it with your chest.
Say it with your chest.
For anyone who is entering the weekend, also going to a wedding or going to an event or whatever, go by yourself. Who cares? Who cares?
You're just speaking to all the single people out there.
Right.
But you're
in
a relationship.
I obviously have a boyfriend.
Brian.
I'm not insecure about being single, which is why I don't lie about having a boyfriend.
Okay.
All right.
I just thought you were giving us some live updates here right in the moment that I was like, whoa, this is. All right. Well, you know, but that is good. Isn't it funny that would like just speaking real quick though, but like with you have a friend that is single and you're like, I know another single person. They have no compatibility whatsoever, other than the fact that they're both single. You're like, you know what? I think this will work.
My friends set me up with someone once where I was like,
do your friends better than that?
Literally felt like, oh, this person's single. I'm going to set you up, and it was the I was like, I don't even know how you're friends with this person. It's just like, did you pity that much that I was single that you were like, let me set you up with this guy who had like all these huge, like giant red flags?
Terrible. What are you doing as a friend?
One of my best friends got married like 6 months ago, but before that, he was perpetually single, and like people would give the weirdest reasons for setting him up on dates with people like, you play guitar. She plays an instrument, too. It's like, okay.
Well, I think especially women, people feel like, oh, you're sad, huh? And it's like, even on the text line, I can see people saying like, you know, oh, wow, Stacey, we get it. You're upset. It's like, no, it's funny.
We're having fun.
All right. I want to get back to a very interesting take on whether or not wide receivers are being overvalued. That's next.